different place to be in a different life than what I'm used to. As I was preparing for all of this, I thought, it's not easy getting up here. It's not easy being a vessel for God. I'm going to be like what Dan used to say, I fought it, and I'm still fighting it. But I have learned that I had to stop fighting it. And so I got to thinking, and I talked to my family at home, how can I make this where I don't look so stiff and so nervous, and I walk around, but I can't wear the earpiece. And so anyway, do what you do naturally. And I said, I've preached for 10 years. It's not like I've never done it, but I've preached to teenagers. It's a lot different. And one of my teens is back here running the soundboard, so I told her, don't play games like we used to years ago. And she hits the button and knocks me off. It's her fault. Not the organist. But no, in all seriousness, I take this as an honor to be in front of you this morning. We had our DCOM meeting last week, and it's like, okay, I think Dan had all this planned. I think he thought, okay, she's going to go in and find out whether or not they're going to keep her, and then I'm going to have her preach the very first Sunday after. So he and I are going to have some discussions this week, I promise you. But I said, yes, I would, because a friend of mine in pastoral school said, quit saying no. When God asks you to do something, say yes. Stop saying no. So, unexpected change. I picked as the title of this. From Galatians, it had some interesting points, but I'm going to take it from a different spin than most have probably. Paul was raised to believe that the law of Moses was the most precious gift God had ever given to humankind. He was taught that Jesus could not be the Messiah because the law said that the person who died as Jesus died was cursed. Therefore, he passionately joined the punishing of the fellow Jews who claimed that a cursed man was the Messiah. Nevertheless, as we all know, an encounter with Jesus himself through the Holy Spirit forced Paul to rethink everything. Paul seemed dismayed when he was converted by Jesus to something during those times so radically different. It was entirely different. It's a free life in God. As we continue to understand, the Galatians were a mix of local and Greek customs in what is now central Turkey. They, for as long as we can wonder, had been living in fear. Fear of their fate, fear of death, fear of the gods. And I say that plural. Until they met Paul. We can all only assume that they were thrilled to learn that Christ freed them from such fear so that they could begin living new lives pleasing to a one God. Paul was excited in sharing his conversion and how he died to his former life and he was changed to his new life, completely identifying with Jesus, explaining to the Galatians how he had changed on the inside first. So think for a moment. What happens to us personally when we begin to think differently? When I began to think differently, this has been a journey. And let me tell you, when you start thinking differently than what everybody's accustomed to you thinking like, they start looking at you weirdly. And they start wondering. And until you're secure in that change, you don't even understand it. But you know something's happening. Close your eyes and try to imagine how you would feel or how you would be if you had all of your life before you this very moment had been nothing but mean. Actually going from town to town, from community to community, under a different name even, Saul. Breathing down the necks of master disciples, out for the kill, as Saul. He would go to the chief priest and he got a arrest warrant to take to the meeting places in Damascus. found anyone, if he found anyone there belonging to the way, whether they were men or women, he would arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem. Then suddenly, you're dazed and confused, blinded by flashing lights, falling to the ground, and on top of that, you hear a loud voice calling you by name. Why are you out to get me? You would probably yell, trying to see but can't. You'd say back, "Who are you, Master?" Then you would hear, "I am Jesus, the one that you're hunting down. I want you to get up and enter the city. Once there, you'll be told what to do." Now, you can now see or imagine how, after experiencing something that radical and being blind for 3 days, you would be super excited to, once that you regained your sight, not only regaining your sight, but you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, and then ate a hearty meal. Now we know God doesn't play favorites. So you continue your journey, evangelizing, not only with a new name, but a newfound experience, excited to tell anyone and everyone who would listen. Therefore, you set off telling others, introducing and inviting everyone you meet into this new free life. By the time you reach Galatia, you discover various religious leaders had reintroduced the Galatians back to their old ways. They were reverting back. Therefore, they questioned Paul as he was returning to the religious, as they were returning to religious rules and regulations. Paul was furious, of course, furious with the old guard for coming in with their strong arm religious tactics and intimidating the Christians into giving up their free life. Nevertheless, Paul was also furious with the Christians for caving in to that intimidation. Almost sounds like Saul acted before his transformation encounter with Jesus. The Galatians were incorrectly told that the law of Christ wanted them to have what they saw as a disfiguring surgical operation, which is circumcision, to stop sharing meals with their pagan neighbors and to adopt other Jewish practices. And still, they went along with this Jesus plus the law of Moses, until Paul's intervention. I brought you back to this present moment to give you a little back history to all this, because it made me do some thinking about we as humans in this world today, we do the same thing. We come closer to Jesus, but then we pull back. We hear some rules, we pull back. I'm a rule breaker. I do things different. I have always operated differently, so this is how I kind of thought, oh wow, I can see how when Paul had the transformation and the conversion, how excited he was, because when I started having an internal conversion, because I was always taught as a kid, it was an external. Everybody watched the way you talk, the way you act, the way you sit, and the way I was raised in my family, the children were to be seen and not heard, but I'm the baby, and I said, I'm going to be heard. Somehow, some way. So I understood with why the Galatians were perplexed and puzzled as we read in the verses 1 through 6. Now, however, I didn't like the word change. And that word kept coming up. Change with a capital C. Oftentimes, our first reaction is to resist. I ran. I got used to being comfortable doing the same routine day after day after day. But God had something else for me, and I was like, okay. And this has been a journey. This isn't something that was just a one-time deal. This has been something that's been going on for quite a long time. I joined this church 20 years ago when I was pregnant, or maybe not, because she'll be 18 this year. I said, my husband says I still can't do the math, but I said 9 months is not 36 weeks. It's 42 weeks if you want to do the right calculation. But either way, during all of this, God's been preparing me. And I have traveled. I've mission trip. Like I said, I was the youth pastor. I did all kinds of various things. Thank God, I was searching. That's what it was. I went back and kind of relived some of that, thinking, what was he using me for? Now I know. He was preparing me as to mature to the level. I said, I'm not a preacher. But what my version of preaching was standing here, being still behind this thing here that holds you up when you're nervous. That's all it is here for. And yet when I did the teenagers, I walked around, we sang, we danced, we jumped. I'd probably freak out if I did that here this morning. But I've had the choir. That's why I chose. My husband said, where are you going to sit? What are you going to sit? Leave me alone. I got this. If he's all about planning and organizing and structure, I fly by the seat of my pants, as Allison Neighbors once told me in the youth ministry. I always have. But to sit in front of the choir when they were singing, it helped embrace me. Because in youth, we would be in here on Wednesday night singing and dancing, and we even had, because we were so loud, I said, we're probably wrecking their practice in there. So I said, well, I'm all about bringing everybody in. Let's just bring them in to sing and dance with us. And let me tell you what, if I could replay that video, we had Janice dancing, we had Jude Floyd dancing. I don't remember who all was dancing in here, but we were twisting and shouting in this sanctuary. Oftentimes, some of us with the change, we have to take a step back, and we have to observe. And we know that change is there. So some of us have to step back and we have to kind of look at it. Do I really want to do that? No. But we think it's okay to say no. No, God's not going to quit. He's not going to quit. He's going to keep nudging. He's going to keep pushing until you're ready. But that day will come. For others, some may jump in head first with no hesitation. That can be okay at some point. At some point, you jump in and you're thinking, okay, this is way too much. But I did that in youth ministry. And I step back. And I jump in some more. However, to change from our inside out, where our hearts truly melt, a warm, loving relationship for others, even the ones who may have hurt you deeply, is hard. It's hard. Better yet, we begin seeing what was once a scary place to go, like a neighborhood that has a reputation for drug deals and crime. It's a place that may be 5 minutes from your neighborhood. Or it may be an hour's drive downtown during the day businesses are open and all is functioning according. But then when everything is closed up and everything is done for the day, you go back downtown and drive around and there's homeless scattered all about. Sleeping behind dumpsters, laying up against fences, or standing in super long lines waiting to get a bed for the night at a local homeless shelter. The places that make us scared are uncomfortable, yet we know we should be helping our neighbors. But it's okay. Somebody else will take care of that. Spiritual growth can't happen until you're uncomfortable. And I'll say that again. Spiritual growth can't happen until you're uncomfortable. And the evidence of that growth, you'll notice, is when you love spending time with God. I can remember Larry, my husband, you can wave back there because we have a lot of Larry. That's a common name I found, too. When Larry and I began dating, he discovered that I had a fear of flying. I had expressed that if I couldn't get to a place by driving my car, and I said, by me driving my car, not him driving me,
driving my car.
Then I wasn't going.
So, for Christmas gift in 1999, 2000, he bought me a trip to Florida. And then we were to board a cruise ship to the Bahamas. Since we both share the love of the beach and the Caribbean, this express mail package came, and I had to sign for it from the mail carrier, and I opened it, and there were plane tickets to Florida, along with the boarding passes for two on a cruise ship on Christmas Eve, of all places and times. I said, uh-uh, no way, nope, never going to happen. And I told her, I'm sorry, but I can't do this. I'm not getting on that plane. Nevertheless, I trusted Larry and I trusted my faith. And in doing so, my first experience of flying was one that I would never forget. Even though they bumped us up to first class, and I had never been on a plane, okay? So I didn't know first class from coach, I didn't know anything. Other than he told them, this is her first flight. She probably could see the fear in my face. At 7 o'clock in the morning, they didn't have us sitting together. I'm like, oh no, see, I told you. He said, sit down. We'll take care of it. She calls us back up. She's talking to him because I don't speak that language at that time. I had no clue. That was frightful. She says, we're going to bump you up to first class at no charge. And all I can remember hearing Larry say is, that just does not happen, especially on Christmas Eve. And then they gave me my wings so that I could get on that plane. And I proudly wore those. Let me tell you, I was in my late 30s. My point is, I had to overcome something that I had created in my own mind, and that was fear. No one else caused this fear but me. I had to take a risk, and I had to step outside of my comfort zone and take this leap of faith. So I got on that plane. Had I not, I would have missed a trip of my life. Possibly not getting the marriage proposal that he had planned and ruining his surprise. Making a change is never easy. I had to become open to change my fears into an action. As our scripture referenced, God reminds us the grace that he gives us with no strings attached. The law of Christ, as it's mentioned, is to bear one another's burdens. Becoming compassionate for each other. This includes connecting with one another at a deeper level. Forming genuine, authentic friendships. Spending time together. Praying and helping one another with life together. This led me to a deeper understanding of the scripture today. In our present day, we no longer live by according to the laws of the Old Testament. But we don't forget him either. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we can live our lives each day striving to perfect ourselves to become more like Jesus rather than the ways the world would rather we be like or behave. In other words, if I had listened to what others said and I began sharing my vision about the Foundry House and all the current ministries and future ministries coming in the next few months, I wouldn't be here this morning doing this, standing before you. I believe because we are free to be our whole self, forging our own path by the grace of Jesus Christ, boldly loving our neighbors, trusting in God's constant embrace, and his empowerment through faith. I would not be in the 2019 local pastor's licensing school nor would I have become a student in the first cohort of the Academy of Missional Wisdom in 2009-2010, which was an intense two-year theological study that I got no degree for, which was under the auspices of Dr. Reverend Elaine Heath, who told us about what it means to love well. And she said to me, and I'll quote, "The strongest quality a congregation can exhibit in its community is to love well. Within and beyond its walls of the church. Our neighbors do not need more preaching, more warnings about hell, or more gimmicks to get them to church on Sunday morning. They need our presence. They need our time and our love. They need our humility. They need us to be the church for them, bearing their burdens. And in that way, we will indeed fulfill the law of Christ. Resisting change, overcoming change, doing something different. God reminds us the grace that He gives us with no strings attached. And until we can truly find, authentically find, our place in life through our faith in Jesus Christ, then we're free. I'll leave with you this challenge for today. As you go about, I want you to think about in what ways did you dream about becoming better at bearing one another's burdens, and in this way fulfilling the law of Christ? And what first steps will you take to help you live into